Please rise. To Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification, be eternal glory. Amen. The word of the Lord, which forms a portion for our sermon text this morning, comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." This is the word of God. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to your fellow redeemed. There are a few events that go hand in hand with summer. Barbecues, baseball games, family vacations. We often do these things in the summertime because that's when the weather is nicest, of course. But also why summer can be a very busy time. It can also be a busy time because of the many things that we do in summer. People also plan their weddings for summer. Weddings are happy and busy times. People have weddings in the summer because people are more widely available, and of course the weather is pretty nice. Perhaps you have been invited to a wedding or two this summer. If you have been invited to attend a wedding, are you planning on bringing a gift? It is customary, of course, to bring gifts to weddings. It's a good tradition. It's nice to be able to contribute to a brand new family. But what makes for a good wedding gift? No doubt the two people who are about to be married already have many things, but especially with young couples, they lack many basic household items. Maybe they lived at home or by themselves for a long time, and now they are moving out on their own and they need new things of their own. And this is, of course, why couples register for wedding gifts. It's hard to know ahead of time what they have and what they have not. So they make a list of things that they think they could use for their new life together. And you want to give a good wedding gift. You want to give a gift that will last. My wife and I got married about 6 years ago, and we still have many things that were given to us on our wedding day, and we still use them. And that's the idea behind wedding gifts. You want to give something that not only the couple needs, but something that will last a long time. This is easier said than done. It's hard to give a useful gift that will last. If you are able to give a gift that lasts even a few years, I'd say that's a good gift. How about a gift that will last their whole lifetime? That is going above and beyond. This Sunday is when we observe the event known as Pentecost. It was the day when the apostles received the gift of the Holy Spirit. There was, and truly is, no better gift than what the apostles received that day. It is a gift that has also been given to us. The Holy Spirit is eternal, so you don't have to worry about outgrowing your use for him. And the Holy Spirit endures. He is the gift that keeps on giving. The Holy Spirit provides us with peace. A peace that is useful for any future situation we could ever possibly face. So let us pray for that gift now. May the words of my heart and the meditation of our lips be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. Amen. Our sermon text this morning from John chapter 14 is something that Jesus said on Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. We have had either excerpts or sermon texts from this section in the last 4 or 5 weeks or so. If you were to open your Bibles to this section in John 14, 15, 16, if you had a red letter version where the words of Jesus were printed out in red, you'd see very few words in black. He said a lot here, and he said a lot to his disciples and really mapped it all out. Well, what did he say? Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Weddings truly are awesome events to attend, but they also require a lot of planning. You need to have a schedule planned out so that everything runs smoothly at a wedding. You also need to tell people well ahead of time that they are invited to it and that they should plan to go to it. This is why couples often send out these save the date notifications. You need to know what future day they are planning on getting married so that you can make the appropriate plans to put you there. People want to go, so you let them know well ahead of time so they can make plans. Events of and following Maundy Thursday were busy, to say the least. But they were also very well planned, very mapped out. It probably seemed in the moment to these disciples that these things were all very sudden, very shocking. But God is always in control. And of course, Jesus is also God, and he is also in control, and he knew the things that would happen before they did. In these red chapters in John, Jesus basically tells his disciples everything that would happen. He foretold his betrayal. He foretold Peter's denial. He foretold his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. But he also foretold the sending of the Helper, sending of the Holy Spirit, and he promised his return. That was why, when Jesus was leaving, he commanded the disciples to remain in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. They obeyed and returned to Jerusalem, and then 10 days later, Pentecost occurred. But following the orders of Jesus was not always the disciples' forte. This whole section of John is really a speech of Jesus telling the disciples exactly what was going to happen before it did. And yet, they couldn't believe it when these things actually occurred. Not only were the disciples not good at remembering the things Jesus said, they were also not very good at following them. Just one chapter before these words, Jesus told Peter that before the rooster would crow twice, he would deny him 3 times. Peter swore, of course, that he would never do such a thing, even if it meant having to die with him. But in the end, it was Peter who instead swore he did not know the man and wept bitterly. But the apostles are not the only disciples of Jesus who have a hard time doing what he says. We, of course, also frequently struggle to do what Jesus has told us. Time and time again, we do the opposite of what Jesus tells us to do. The disciples loved him, and so do we. And yet he says here, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." We don't do that, not even close to it. What does it mean to keep his word? Well, Jesus says here, loving him means keeping his word. And that word here that gets translated keep has a very interesting idea behind it. It means to guard, to keep, to treasure, to cherish. Truly, we don't keep Jesus' word like we should. Our sinful flesh gets in the way of that every single day. But because we have been converted by the water and the word, we can treasure and keep his word. Despite carrying around these sinful bodies cursed, at the same time, we have God inside of us. Jesus goes on to say, "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Through this blessed possession, we do keep the words of Jesus, and he lives in us. through our conversion, we do have God inside of us. And that's why Paul warned the Corinthians against sexual immorality, and he explained, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." How is it that we have God inside of us? We know it's through the Holy Spirit. He takes people like us, people who were dead in trespasses and sins, and makes us alive to God. That is why the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift we could possibly ever have. He gives us spiritual life, and it is eternal life. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The sender, the sending of this Helper, this Holy Spirit, would have immediate implications for those disciples. They would experience them at Pentecost. They would be able to perform great signs and great wonders through the Spirit. This included the gift of tongues. People were gathered there from all around the world, as we read in Acts chapter 2, and yet they heard these men praising God in their own native tongues, despite the fact that they were all uneducated Galileans. This made the onlookers confused, and maybe it caused even some to speculate that they were drunk, full of new wine. They couldn't understand it. I think that sometimes in our conservative Lutheran circles, there's a little uneasiness when it comes to the Holy Spirit and to his gifts. The reason for this is that some church bodies overemphasize these gifts of the Holy Spirit. They desire to speak in tongues as a sign of proof that they have the Holy Spirit inside of them. And we, of course, do not do that. But not being able to speak in tongues does not mean that we don't have the Holy Spirit in us. And that was not the point of this gift anyway. This was a special gift given to the brand new church, and it was for a very specific reason. It signified that no matter what language you spoke, that this gospel was meant for you. For a group of men who were about to go out into the world and preach Christ crucified, what better gift could have been given? I mentioned how hard it is to give a good wedding gift. While these men were not getting married, the principle behind this gift was the same. Their master had just ascended into heaven, and soon they would leave not only their home, but each other. They needed a gift that would help them get where they were going, in a strange and foreign country. Being able to preach the life-saving message in the native tongue would be a great asset to these men. And of course, we have the same gift. No, most of us can't speak a foreign language. The disciples also had other gifts of the Holy Spirit that they could do that we cannot. We do have the exact same gift that was given to them that day, the Holy Spirit. Our mission is the same one that they had back then, to make disciples of all nations. We have been given a spiritual and eternal life through the Holy Spirit, and then we in turn give that same gift to others. Even though we do only speak English, the Holy Spirit works through our language. He is the power in the word that converts souls. The Holy Spirit has the power. He has the power to take sinners like us, turn us into saints, and then turn around and make other sinners into saints as well. What a gift and what a helper. Now, I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. This is a good thing that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, because we need all the help, truly, we can get. Jesus mentioned another spirit here in this text, the ruler of this world. Who is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the most unhelpful spirit, Satan, the devil. Whereas the Holy Spirit helps us, the devil only tries to hurt us. He walks about this earth like a lion, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. He's always looking for a way to trip us up, to listen to his lies instead of to God's truth. He is our enemy. He's always looking to drag us down to hell. And make no mistake about it, he is the ruler of this world. That is why this world is such an inhospitable place for Christians to live. Sin and temptation lurk around every corner we go to. The world, the devil, and our own flesh even are always trying to get us to forget about God and his promises to us. But we know and believe that we cannot be taken away from him. We have been given the one thing that cannot be taken away from us. Namely, we know that Jesus loved us so much that he even died for us. And our sins have all been wiped away clean at the cross. That is why the gift of the Holy Spirit is the best gift we could ever have. It provides hope for us wherever we go. Psalm 139 says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." No doubt, just like the disciples were about to venture into the known world, Christ's disciples now today are found everywhere throughout this earth. Those disciples would find places where the gospel would be successful, and where their message of Christ crucified would be welcomed. But they would also experience places of rejection, persecution, and strife. And of course, we today can expect more of the same. Thankfully, right now in America, we can still worship our God. But that does not mean that will always be the case. The world grows more and more sinful, and it becomes increasingly hostile to those who speak up for the truth of Christ. And that is exactly why we need a helper. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Through this helper and through his life-saving message, we truly have peace. It is a peace, like Paul said, that surpasses all understanding and keeps our hearts in Christ Jesus. This peace is how we are able to go on through this world. It's not a military peace that does not seem to last very long. And it is not the fabled world peace, which seems that everyone seems to be after. It is much better than that. It is the peace that only the Holy Spirit can give to you. It's the peace that you have with your God, the peace that knows that even though you are sinful, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This truly is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that Jesus loves us and forgives us our sins. Summer truly can be a busy time. There are all kinds of events and plans that we have for the summer months. But let us never be too busy to receive the gifts of the helper. Go back to the Word of God. Through that helper, the Word will lead you to the fact that, yes, you are sinful, but God has forgiven you. Go back to church, where we see that not only have we been forgiven, but we taste it as well. We have the opportunity to thank God and praise him for his loving kindness. Then go back out into the world equipped with the faith that the Spirit gives you, a faith that has the peace that surpasses all understanding inside of it. Go back out into the world where darkness of sin and Satan seem to rule, and let your light shine in its darkness. The light that shines is not of you, but of the God who lives inside of you. It'd be hard to give a good gift, especially one that's going to last. But that is why God gives us the best gift we could ever have, the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, we have a gift that will be useful in any situation that we'll ever encounter on this earth. He is the gift that truly keeps on giving. For not only does he give us the gift of eternal life, but he gives us the means to give that gift to others. All praise and thanks be to God, who gives helpless sinners like us truly the most helpful gift ever. Amen. Please rise.